many of you grew up with a father in your home? Amen. Now, there might be those that grew up without a father in your home. And I'm here to tell you, my father was ill most of all my upbringing until he got a real touch of the Lord when I was about 23 years old. He got a hold of Isaiah 53. He began to preach again, began to pastor, and then he had a little setback not long after that. But most of my life, my father was ill. And so God knows how to make up the difference when you don't have a father very involved in your life. My dad was very involved as far as he religiously read his Bible and such as that. We had family devotions. But he just, you know, wasn't involved beyond that too much. And we went to church. You know, I always say I'm not poor mouthing here by saying this. My dad only went to one of my athletic events. And I played from Little League all the way into college. And so that's kind of hurtful, you know, it's painful for a child, you know, to have their parent not be interested or not feel like they just can go. And I don't fault him. He's in heaven and he's 100% well today. And when I get to heaven, it won't matter if I had a good fastball or curveball anyhow. So when I get up there, we're going to dance, though, on the Street of Gold. We're going to worship. I'm going to have the best voice I ever had in my life when I get to heaven. I think I can play the electric guitar even. I just haven't realized it yet. But when I get to heaven, I'm going to. And, you know, I had a set of drums, but I didn't learn to keep the beat. I did on the opposite beat that you should have. And that was my problem. But I'm going to talk some more about prayer today. I want to talk about the secret place. Because the secret place is where we all need to get to. Amen? Let's look at a couple of scriptures to begin here. And I'm going to talk about the secret place of power, where you can tap into the power of Almighty God. Amen? Luke 11, verse 1. We're going to start there again. We're going to hit a couple other scriptures along the way. But Luke chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place." That's a key phrase right there, a certain place. How many of you have a certain place where you go to or you want to go to sometimes when you need to get alone with God? You know, when I come to this building, I have a place in my office, but I come here into this room and I walk around. But everybody needs to have a place where they can get with God. But Jesus came to a certain place, and he was praying in that certain place. And when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." You know, I'm going to give you some quick points here. Number one, you must find your place of prayer. Now, where is that? My wife, we have these big windows in our bedroom. She's in the nursery right now. But we have these big windows in our bedroom. And she undoes the blinds and the light comes in. It's just so nice, especially when the sun's out. And she sits in this big white chair. It makes her look like a child. It's so big. But she just curls up in that white chair every morning, Brother Charlie, and she reads her Bible, and she prays there. And usually what I do is I stay out of her way. I let her get ready and all that because she works with SEMO as a substance abuse counselor. And then I go get my coffee, and I sit in my recliner, and I watch Fox News, and I talk to the Holy Spirit about the news. And then after I'm done watching the news, and she's kind of got together and I didn't interrupt her secret place time, then I go in and I get ready and I get dressed, and I'm not in a rush most days because I go to the post office and they don't put the mail in the mailbox until about 10 o'clock. So I go by there about 10 o'clock and then I come on to the church. But I pray in my car on the way. I pray, well, I pray in the shower. I pray while I'm getting dressed. I pray on my way out the door, into the car. And then I seek the Lord, and I put that on the message on the radio and turn it down. That way I got praise and worship going in the background. And I'm just praying away, and I'll pull up to a stoplight, and I'll be praying and talking, and people will be looking at me, and they'll be looking in the other seat. Who is he talking to? Well, I'm just talking to the Holy Spirit. You know, my car is a good secret place, but then I come here, and then I finish off my praying a lot of times by coming in here and walking around. But what did Paul say? Didn't he say he prayed without ceasing? Yeah, that means you don't become religious. I mean, it's all right to kneel down, okay? I can kneel down, and boy, my knees are painful, and they ache, and I can pray that way. But most time, I'm concentrating, I'm thinking, boy, my knees are aching. It's a good place of humility. You should humble yourself before the Lord, but before long, I have to get up. And I say, boy, them old knees are bothering me. But what do you find? I'll just use this scripture because it's one of my main prayer scriptures. But what do you find to be true in Mark 11, 22 through 24? I tell you all to pray that prayer all the time. He talks about having faith in God, speaking to the mountains, they'll be cast in the sea. Then he talks about, you know, as those mountains are cast into the sea, that then you can ask Nelson whatever you want and he will grant it to you. But then there's a key after that. He says, and while you stand praying. That's my scripture. It's not that I'm not humble to kneel down and pray. But I'm one of those that I like to walk with God. I like to talk with God. And so I'm doing much better when I'm talking and walking with Him. I'm standing. He says, while you stand praying, forgive. So whoever you need to forgive, if you want that request to make it past your ceiling or past your hearing, then you need to forgive. I don't care who it is. You know what? I sleep good. I'm happy. You know, there could be some circumstances different here or there, but I am happy and who I am and who I'm with, the Holy Spirit. I love the Lord. And I minister wherever I go. You know, places to preach and to stores, whatever I'm doing. I can talk to people and I can share with people, and I do. And I'm happy in that. I praise the Lord in that. It's a great opportunity we have every day. But you have to find your place. Your secret place of prayer. Everybody needs to have a place that they pray. And you need to, you know, like I said, you know, mine, I got three or four places. But I especially love to drive and pray. It's easy to do that. Psalm 27, verse 8, if you'll go there and look on the screen if you don't have your Bible fast enough here. But 27, verse 8 says, when you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Are you seeking his face today, or are you seeking his hand most of the time? You know, he has things in his hands. He wants to give us things. He speaks to the angels even to do certain things and to be around us and whisper in ears and people. It says if you give, it'll be given unto you, shaken together, pressed down, shaken together, running over, men will put into your bosom. So it's nice to be handed things that are needed and that would be helpful. But are we seeking for just what he's going to put into our bosom even? Now, we give because we love the Lord. We give our offerings. We give our time. Do we give to our family? Do we give love to others? Do we give a witness of the gospel to others? You see, are you a giver? But the key, though, is when we seek, do we seek His hand, what we think He can give us? Although He says ask, He wants to give to us. But what He wants more than what He can give to us, more than us seeking His hand, He wants us to seek His face. You know, even my little dog will jump up in my lap and try to lick my face. He loves for me to acknowledge Him. It's funny how pets are like that. I think we need to become more like our pets sometimes. We need to be able to crawl up into the face and the bosom of God and cry out to Him and say, we want to know Him. We want to see Him. We want to understand His Word. And so, see, you said, seek my face. My heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. He's inviting us. Now, isn't that amazing, the words that have come forth today? Sister Virginia was so anointed up here sharing that word, and that wasn't that what a word was. She didn't know what scriptures I was using today. But what did she say? Hey, the Lord wants you to come. Step in. Don't stay out in the outer court. Don't stay way out there. Come on in to the Holy of Holies. You know, I have certain relatives, and I love them, and I care about them. And when I first moved here, I would invite them to come to our house at holiday times. And one of my uncles and aunts came one time, and they stayed for just a little bit. And another one, I don't remember if they came or if they just said, well, you know, we're not going to be able to make it. But they don't even have kids, none of them. Man, we were inviting them in to have a celebration time with us. They didn't have to bring anything but themselves. But yet, they wouldn't step in. I'm not complaining and I'm not getting angry or anything. Don't get me wrong. You know, but the point I'm making, like Sister Virginia said, by the Spirit, the Lord said, I don't want you to stay out there in the outer court with just a casual relationship that when I see you at the post office, hello, how are you? Or when I see you at Walmart, oh, and how have you been doing? No, how about coming on in and sitting down and fellowshipping with us? How about coming in, eating a little turkey and dressing and mashed potatoes and gravy and green beans and boy, I must be getting hungry. How about coming on in, though, and sitting down with us? You know, the Father is always inviting us in to sup with Him. You know, Jesus got onto the Laodicean church. He said, hey, you're lukewarm. You're not even hot and you're not cold. When you're lukewarm, it just makes a person want to spew you out. I don't like coffee that's not hot. Sometimes I'll get the pot and it's not even hot. It's not even cold. Have you ever drank iced coffee? Hey, I tried that one day with my Keurig. I put the little dilly bobber in there. I got my cup full of ice, put it under the spout, and I pressed go, and it filled that thing up. And then I put my sweetener in there, and I shook it a little, made it sure it got really nice and cold, and then I drank. It wasn't bad. It's pretty good, ice cold. But if you drink coffee and it's lukewarm, this makes you want to spew it out. Spit it out. I like my coffee on a cold day hot. And on a hot day, I'd like either a glass of iced tea or ice water. Or now I know I could drink an iced coffee. But the key is that He says, don't be lukewarm. He told the Laodicean church, He said, because you're not hot or cold, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. He said, hey, I'm at the door knocking. And if you had asked me in, not only would I come in and fellowship with you, but that literally meant He would come in with all the fixings. He'd bring the turkey with Him. He'd bring the dressing with Him. He'd bring the beans with Him. He'd bring the buns and the hot rolls, and He'd bring the iced tea. He'd bring it all in with Him. And we could sit down, and we could have fellowship together, see. And that's what the Holy Spirit is trying to communicate through this word that we read, is that God is wanting us to seek His face. He wants us to get in His presence. He wants us to get to know Him and who He is and what His character is like. Point number two. One was, you must find your place, your secret place for prayer. Number two, when there in that place, your agenda is to seek His face. Your agenda is not to beg for stuff. It's not to beg for money. It's not to beg even for healing. You don't have to do that, do you, Sister Kathy? The Word of God says, my God shall supply all my needs. Amen. And then it says, by His stripes I am healed. I could just quote and quote and quote, but the Scriptures tell us He's already done everything. Isaiah 53, He took our infirmities. He took our sicknesses. He bore, He took our sins. And He allowed us so that we could have salvation. We could be healed. We could be supplied for. Hallelujah. It's amazing what God can do. I remember we were building South Florida, and we had these church bonds. We didn't take a loan out with anybody. We sold church bonds through an agency. And we needed some more money. And I hadn't sold all the bonds. And I'm downtown having to stand before the county commissioners of Dade County. Now, I don't know if you understand, after a hurricane destroys a place, they make the building code so tough that you can't hardly get them to pass it for you. I mean, our plans were like that thick of big sheets and all this pictures of the buildings and grounds. I mean, I had to go and talk about water. And then we found out because of the bus line that was going to go through that we couldn't bring the water from like 1,000 feet away or whatever. So we had to still put in a well. And then we needed fire hydrants. But guess what? When there's no water, there's no fire hydrants. So then we had to put in a fire well with a big Detroit diesel motor that would pump out 2,200 gallons per minute. Unbelievable what you got to go through. And I was down there preaching to the commission about why I needed a big sign out by the road. And I did my homework. I found out the Church of God about 3 or 4 blocks away had put up a sign that was bigger than the one I was asking for. And I showed them a picture. I said, this is the Church of God. It's about 4 blocks from our church or so, 5 blocks. And guess what? Y'all let them put up a big sign, a lighted sign. I'm not asking for one that big. And I'll even go this far. If you let me have my sign, I'll even put it 50 feet off the edge of the road. Because, see, a certain amount was right away for the stuff that was coming. That's okay. I had my I's dotted, my T's crossed. All those guys, well, I think we better let the Reverend have his sign. What do you think? Let's take a vote. And they voted like 8 or 9 to nothing to let me have my sign. I walk outside the door saying, it's great to be able to put up a sign, but when you don't have all the money you need to build the building, what good is it, Lord? About that time, Bobby Roethlisberger was with me. He went with me. I had my cell phone, and back then they were like this big, you know, like a walkie-talkie. That thing rang. I got it out and put it on my shoulder, you know. Hello? There's a man named Lindell Farmer. Brother Farmer retired at 45 years old. He had owned several Hardee's restaurants, only they were called Burger Chef back then. And he had been a builder. He was a multimillionaire. And he came on the phone and he said, Pastor, have you sold those church bonds? I said, well, not all of them. He said, how many do you have left? And I think it was something like maybe $110,000 worth, something like that. He said, well, I'll buy them all. Come by and see me tomorrow. So I did, and he bought them. And we were able to keep building. See, God knows your heart. I was trying to do my best after an extreme circumstance where our whole property was destroyed and we were trying to rebuild. But you see, your agenda cannot be give me, give me, give me. Your agenda is seek His face. Get to know Him. Number three, pray until you feel a release. Pray until you feel a release. Now, if you remember in Luke 11:1, I told you He prayed in a certain place, and when He ceased, there is a point when you know that it's time that you can stop at that place. Now, in Matthew 6:6, that's also a passage where the Lord's Prayer is. But what I want you to see is this is before He tells His disciples. Same circumstance, two different Gospels, two different people's perspectives. But in Matthew 6:6, because He's talking about how to pray, not to be like the hypocrites that, oh, Lord, you know I'm doing so great. You ever talk to somebody? This happens all the time. I could say, Sister Lois, how are you doing today? And she'd say, I'm doing great, Pastor Kevin. It's just a lovely day. Good to see you. That's how we all are, isn't it? You know what I like about Rick? He's not like that. How are you doing today? Not so good today. I said, what's wrong? My sugar's been up again. That's why we prayed for him this morning. I said, well, you come up when we anoint with oil, and we're going to believe for the sugar to come down in his body. Amen? I know they prayed for you, but I'm just going to point at you, and I'm going to say, sugar, go down in the name of Jesus. We command it by the word of the Lord. Be thou made whole. We bind that infirmity, and we destroy that yoke off of your neck. Sean, just reach over and put your hand on him in the name of Jesus Christ. We know God is the healer, and we declare that you are well, that you are not going to be sick anymore. Because, and that ammonia level, you got to come down along with it. Because Jesus is the Word of God, and He is the healer. Amen. In verse 6, He said, but you, now some of you are to be different because your heart is right with God. He said, don't be like the hypocrites, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. I like that. How many of y'all like to be rewarded? Point number four, your motivation is to know the Father. It's not to beg for stuff. Your motivation is to know the Father. You know how many people didn't know their parents, or maybe they were even adopted, and they still have a yearning down inside of them that they would like to know who their parents were. One of the gals that we knew that was connected to family years ago, she was adopted into a wonderful family in South Louisiana. And I like this gal. Man, she's a spunky thing. She puts on Facebook all these things about the truth, and I said, better her to do it than me. You know, everybody'd say, oh, you're getting political or something. But she is a go-getter. Her adopted parents, her adopted mother was from Oklahoma. An Okie from Oklahoma, Muskie, what is that? Somewhere. That's almost like speaking in tongues for me. But anyway, she was from Oklahoma. She's one of them kind of gals, put on her high heels, and it just wasn't quite right, you know. She should have had on a pair of boots or something. But she was a character. Man, we'd go over there when we lived down South Louisiana, when we first got married, and before, right after we'd go back and visit. And sometimes we'd land over there for a Thanksgiving dinner. And you know, they make oyster dressing in South Louisiana. They don't make cornbread dressing. So it's a little different. You got to get used to it. You got to gain a little knack for it, actually, because I like the cornbread dressing better. But anyway, but she made sweet potato casserole. And I love that so much, I didn't even need pecan pie for dessert. I mean, that sweet potato casserole is like pie, and it was decorated with pecans and brown sugar on top. And then, if you really want to dress it up, you could even throw some of those little bitty marshmallows on top of that. That's if you want your sugar to go up, Rick. You avoid it in the name of Jesus. But that sweet potato casserole was a hit. And my wife got the recipe, and guess what? She makes it every Thanksgiving. We've done that for 32 Thanksgivings since. Isn't that crazy? But see, she had a good adopted mother. And she had a good adopted father. He was a hard worker. He provided everything she ever needed, vehicles, college education, whatever it was. He had worked hard to get the money so that she could have everything. And he even, once the wife passed away and he remarried, he moved across down the road from that house into his new wife's house and gave his house to her. He loved her. She was his daughter. They adopted her. But she, at one point in her life, got really stirred up. She wanted to know who her birth parents were. Well, she found out. And, of course, they were both passed away. But it wasn't as pretty of a picture once she found out. But she had that desire to know who her father was. Had a desire to know who her birth mother was. But I'm telling you, you have a heavenly Father that will never disappoint you. And when you seek His face and you want to know Him, He will allow you to come all the way into the Holy of Holies, all the way to the throne room, and you can obtain grace and mercy in your time of need. You know, I get phone calls almost every day wanting to know if I can pay somebody's rent or pay their electric bill. People stop by the building and will ask me if we pay a bunch of stuff. And I don't know, I don't know if they call everybody, but they are in need, and I feel terrible. I would love to help them. We just don't have that extra right now to do that. But it always amazes me, because I always mention to them, well, look, I can pray for you, or if you want to come to church, you know, we'll get to know you. Maybe we can connect you to somebody or something. Well, thank you. And they get off the phone. About 1 in 10, and I probably get 10 phone calls every week like that. 1 in 10, when I say, well, can I pray for you, will say, please pray for me. And then afterwards, they usually say, where do you have your church? They're asking me for money, but they don't even know where we are. Never ceases to amaze me. But I invite them. I said, we would love to get to know you. We'd love to meet you and see if we can somehow help you to find your answers that you have need of. Number 4 key was your motivation, of course, is to know the Father. Number 5, when your motives are correct, when your motive is correct and righteous, then you get rewarded. What did he say? Jesus said, go find you a secret place. And when you have a secret place where you can seek God's face, because you're not making a show of it, and you're not pretending to be a Christian, and you're not playing religion, but you're sincere in your endeavor to walk with God, then what does he promise? He says, then I will reward you openly. He said, seek me in your secret place, your room. Shut yourself up. This is not a game today. God's not looking for people that would play games. You don't accomplish much when you're playing games with God. You don't accomplish anything when you're playing religion. You only see the power of God move when you're humble before Him and you learn to spend time with Him and you walk with Him and you talk with Him to such a point that when you walk and you smile and you're out and about the community. I've got on airplanes before and had somebody say, they say, what do you do? And I say, well, I'm a pastor. And they say, well, I knew it. I could see it on your face. I could see a light in your eyes. Many people have said things like that over the years. And I'm sure many of you have experienced the same thing. Well, I could tell there was a difference about you. That's because when you spend time with the Father, Jesus is great. He is the Word of God. He's our passageway. He's the door that opens up for salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Him. He's everything to us. Holy Spirit is the one that talks to us. He's the one that comforts us. He's the one that teaches us. He is the one who leads us. But it's the Father that owns the farm. It's the Father that has all power over the resources. He gives Jesus authority, the Word of God. But the Father's the one that wants to know you. You know, when Paul was caught up, he said, I don't know if I was in or out of my body, but I was caught up to the third heaven, to the throne of God. Yeah. You can be caught up to the throne of God where He can show you things that you never knew before. Jeremiah was in the prison, but he said in 33:3, he said, the Lord told him, ask and I'll show you great and mighty things which you don't know. God's always wanting to show you things. In 2 Kings 4, verse 30, it says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I'll not leave you. So he arose and followed her. This is the Shunammite woman that came out, you know. She was the one who was a widow. She had no children. She was married to an older guy that didn't have kids or couldn't have kids. And Elisha prayed for her, spoke the word that she would have a child. She thought it was a joke. Don't tease me. He said, no, you'll have a child by this time next year. She had the child. Child grew up some. Then he died of a heat stroke, evidently, is out in the field. And the Shunammite woman was coming to see him. And Gehazi, the servant, you know, he said, take your staff and go out there. And so he took Elisha's staff and went out there. But she said, no, I don't want no assistant. I don't want nobody else. I want the prophet of God that gave me the word. I'm not bragging on me at all, but I've had times where somebody said, get him to come and pray. I know if he can pray, something will happen. Down in Guadalajara, they treat me with great honor and as a prophet of God. And there was a woman that was in the hospital, intensive care. She was in a coma. And the family told the pastor, Pastor Paco, great man of God, said, can you get the prophet to go see my mother? My father's asked you if he could do that. Well, you know, when you have four-hour services and pray for about 200 or 300 people, and you're ready to go eat a taco and lay down. But Chris Martinez was with me on that trip, and I'll never forget. I said, well, if you get somebody to pick us up. Chris knew a little bit of Spanish. I knew a tiny bit, and he knew a little bit because his father's Cuban. So I knew he could halfway understand what they're saying. You know, at least I'd have somebody that kind of speak Spanish. And so they sent somebody and picked us up from the hotel after the rest of the gang got there, and we went to the hospital. This was at nighttime. It was like 10 or o'clock at night. We went in there. The daddy was there. The daughter was there. Mama was in intensive care, in the coma. And I went in there, and I put my hand on this lady's hand. Her arms were just laying there, you know. She had tubes all in her and everything like that. And I put my hand on her hand, and I said, "Sister Connie," she had been Pastor Paco's secretary for many years. I said, "Sister Connie, this is Pastor Kevin, and I'm here to pray for you." Now, this woman hadn't opened her eyes in days. She had been in a coma for days. They thought she was on her deathbed, about to die. And when I called her name and said who I was, she opened her eyes and looked right at me. I said, "Chris, tell the nurse to go get the daddy." And I began to pray over her, and she sat up in bed. She'd been in a coma. When there's faith, and when that person has spent time in the secret place, there is a power that you can reach into the well and draw from and distribute and give to somebody that needs it. And at that time, she needed a touch of God. She sat up in bed. They came in. They were weeping and crying and laughing and rejoicing because they thought she would never wake up again. But the daddy said, because I'd been there so many times and seen so many miracles and healings, he said, "If you can get the prophet to go over and pray for her, I think she'll be touched." That little dab of faith grabbed a hold of the little power that I operate in that came out of the well of relationship by spending time in a secret place with our Heavenly Father, and it touched her body, and she sat up. And they said, I found out later, about a month later, Brother Tino called me and told me, "Well, Sister Connie passed away. She went on to be with the Lord." I said, "Oh." And he said, "But you know, Brother Kevin," said, "for about 4 or 5 days after, she would get out of the bed in the ICU and go pray for other patients and they'd be healed." Said she emptied out the ICU praying for people and they went home healed. And then she had done what she was called and went on to be with the Lord. But God proved a point. And then the daddy died of diabetes later. But, of course, I'm telling you something that happened like 20 years ago. And that daughter still lives there. And sometimes she'll send me a message on Facebook and ask me to pray for this or that. And it's amazing, you know. People remember the power of God. There is something tremendous about the power of praying saints. Your power isn't in your prayer over them. Your power is in your praying and knowing your Father in the secret place where you sought His face. That's where the power is at. And what happens? He comes in. And in verse 33, he went in, therefore, and shut the door behind the two of them and prayed to the Lord. You know what sometimes happens? You go to a hospital room and you got half a bunch of family members that don't love the Lord. They don't serve God. They're living for the devil. And they're in that room when you're trying to pray heaven down to touch them. I'm telling you, Jesus cleared the room out at times. Elijah cleared the room out. And Elisha, he didn't let anybody in the room but him and Gehazi, his servant, who certainly believed in the power of God to operate through Elisha. Even though the mama believed, he didn't even let her in the room. He went in there, and he shut the door, and he went up, and he lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. Now, I've never done that before. They'd arrest you and throw you in jail nowadays, you do something like that. But Elisha went and he just allowed the life from his body, soul, and spirit to flow into that child. And it says, he returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself on him. Then the child sneezed 7 times and the child opened his eyes and he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came in to him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in and fell at his feet and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son and went out. Boy, I'm telling you, the power of somebody who knows how to seek God. Sometimes you might not know every way to advertise or ways to do things according to technology today. And I fumble along and my kids make fun of me sometimes because, you know, I'm not of their generation. But I can tell you this, I seek the face of God. And I've seen many, many miracles and healings. And I know why. It's because the power of someone who prays in the secret place and seeks the face of the Father. You will have the reservoir, the extra capacity that you don't even have in and of yourself. You have it from Almighty God. And that's somebody that I want to pray for me. I don't want somebody, they always said it, don't let somebody with, you know, was it empty head or empty heart or something, they'll have empty hands or something like that. You don't want somebody that's not tapped into the anointing of Almighty God to lay hands on you. They'll communicate something else to you other than the power of God. Let the motives be right. Let that power operate